Salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Let us stand and sing our opening hymn, May Jesus Christ Be Praised. It's as morning gilds the sky. Do I have the wrong one?
Number 78, When Morning Gilds the Sky.
I have the wrong bulletin. I'm going to leave and come back.
When Morning Gilds the Sky.
Number 78.
Because we have to, but because of a relationship. And when the relationship is real, we can't help but give. When we know and fully acknowledge who you are, we cannot help but give. So we give because of who you are, because of what you've done. So we give. Amen.
If you would open your hymnals to 121.
Thank you.
as we go to prayer this morning, let us remember Amy, that most of us, we over the years have been praying for Amy, that when she was in the mission field, she came home very ill. And it's been, I don't know how many, 5 years, been struggling. And what was that illness caused from? And it's getting worse and worse. Finally, they discovered something. And they think, one, she may have Lyme's. And second, there's a parasite that's in her muscles. And so the doctor knows what it is, and they've started treatment. But the treatment is very, very painful. That when these parasites die, they're very, very toxic to the system. And so the pain that she's been going through is really nothing compared to what she is starting to go through now. And this may go on for up to a year. And so we want to keep Amy in our prayers as the doctors work with her, as that medicine works, and that the Lord would just give her a strength and a hope and an encouragement and keep her body strong. Last week, too, Ron had some tests done and some things came back positive, that some of the tumors have died. And the other ones are not growing, and his liver counts up, but not where it should be. So he's still, you know, very weak, has a good time, and then boom, down it goes because of that liver count. But at least things are on, it seemed to be the right track. So we praise God for that. We want to keep him in our prayers this morning. Let's bow now before our Father. Father, thank you for your awesome presence here and for the hope that we find in Christ. And that when we walk through valleys, we never walk alone. You go with us. We thank you so much for this physician who is able to pinpoint what's happening within Amy. Thank you so much that he knows the proper medicine and that treatment can begin. And now we just pray that you wrap your arms around her. One, physically, to keep her strong as the side effects happen. And second, to keep a deep, deep hope within her and a deep joy that goes beyond the physical, beyond the emotional. Give her that vision of where this is going and help her keep her focus there. We thank you what's happening with Ron and pray that that just continues. Continue to work with the physicians, continue to work with that medication, and continue to keep his body strong and help it to fight the way you've made it to fight. Be with the family, both families, as they walk with their loved one through this. And science has told us, which we already knew from the scripture, the healing doesn't just come through medicine, but you also work through people. And it's the support and love of the family that gives strength to the one who needs it. So we pray you give the family that extra strength and support and encouragement through your presence. And Lord, we lift up unspoken ones this morning. We know there are some that are confidential, cannot be shared, but they're deep and they're real. And you know them. There are some that are so deep that words cannot express the depth of the emotions. But you hear it. So we pray for those. We thank you for the intervention of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would all the young folks come up front now? Hi there, young lady. Come up here. I'm going to show you something. Come on, we got to get in here close. Everybody in here close, because you got to get in here real close with me. I want to show you this.
What?
When I was walking over here this morning, I saw this. You know what that is?
What?
Okay, this is a telephone line, so it's up high. That's a tree?
Yeah.
What is that?
A beetle web.
spider web.
Yeah, it's a spider web. And look at that. I want to show you something with that spider web. Look closely. This here is real high, okay?
Okay.
And there's a couple of strands from this spider web going all the way up there. And see that tree there? About 10 feet away, and that 10 feet's long. That's bigger than you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a strand. Once there's a strand of that spider web going all the way over there and all the way there. And how did he do that?
He climbed across the web.
But there was no web there when he first did it. So how did he do all that?
He did one like this.
He did. And another. How did he know how to do that? Look at that. Look at that.
He did it by itself.
I know, but wouldn't that be hard to make?
Yeah. Look,
that's a really artistic. How did he know to do that? Who taught him that?
I don't know.
Other spiders.
But they don't do that. Spiders don't teach other spiders. Spiders don't like other spiders.
Spiders don't have any clothes.
Oh, and don't what? Sometimes spiders eat other spiders, so they can't teach each other. So how did he know to do that?
I don't know.
Let me tell you. Say it again. God put within that spider the ability to do that. Now, you may say it was happened through evolution. Well, if it did, you know who caused it to happen that way? God did. Look at that. And you know what? If God takes care of that spider, and that's how the spider, that's his home, that's how he gets his food.
Yeah.
And God took care of that spider, didn't he? To teach him that. Now, I'm not done. I'm talking. Who's more important than the spider?
God.
Well, it is, but who's more important to God? More important than a spider to God? Are you? Are you more important than a spider?
Yeah.
Lot more. So if God would take care of a spider like that, and you are more important, does he take better care of you?
Yeah.
Yes. So every time you see a spider web, look at that and say, wow, God took care of that spider. And I am more important than that spider to God, so he is taking care of me and you. Okay,
hey,
now you can speak.
Hey, Pastor Ted, the last time when I was in my room, I saw a spider on my wall.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then my mom smacked it with my suit.
Oh. No more spider. Mm-mm. Yep. So who's more important than a spider? Who is more important than a spider?
God.
No, you are. To God. You are more important than a spider to God. And if God took care of a spider, he will take care of you. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your awesome presence and that you do take care of us and for the beauty of nature. That is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And how precious and special each one of the young folks up here are to you. You know them by name. Amen. Okay, you all may walk on out. If you would, if you'd like to follow the book of Esther, chapter 1. Now, if like most folks, that's okay. Esther, we usually don't go to that book too often. So look in your table of content if you need to go there to find it. And sometimes I have to do that because you go through it, such a little book, you just keep going right by it and right by it. So don't feel bad that you need to go there. The book of Esther, beginning with chapter 1. And we'll read just a few verses there, 1 through 12. This is what happened during the time of King Xerxes. I said it wrong. I can't say it right now. Somebody say it right. Xerxes, thank you. Once I go the wrong way, I'm done. Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Yerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. And in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for his nobles and officers. Drop down to verse 4. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the palace. For all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa, the garden had hanging of white, blue, and all these fancy things. Go down to verse 7. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant, in keeping with the king's liberty. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. When the queen also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace, on the seventh day, the king was in high spirit, meaning the king was drunk. He commanded 7 eunuchs who served him, and he gives a name, to bring before him the queen, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, the queen refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Okay, as we go through this message this morning, I'm going to need your help. And this is what I'm going to need your help with. When I point my finger at you, I need you to say, a king got drunk. Okay? Let's practice it. So when I go like this, try it one more time. Okay. See, the king held this great banquet. And at the banquet, he drank a whole bunch. And he got drunk. And the fact of getting all drunk with his other men, he called for the queen to come before him. Now, the reason why he called for the queen to come before him is because... because he got drunk, he called the queen to come before him. And when he asked the queen to come before him, he asked her really to dress, to come and dance kind of provocatively. And he asked the queen to dance provocatively when she came before him, all because... King got drunk. Now, king got drunk, he asked the queen to come to dance provocatively before him. But the queen refused to come because she didn't want to dance that way before him. Now, the queen refused to come because the king called her to dress, wanted to dance provocative when she came before him. And he asked for her to come before her like that, all because they... Now, because the king got drunk, he called the queen to come before him, called the queen to come before him and to dance provocatively. And the queen refused to come because she wasn't going to do that. Because the queen refused to come, the king got rid of her. And the king got rid of her because she wouldn't do what he asked her to do. And she wouldn't do what he asked her to do, was to come and dance provocatively before him. And he asked her to come and dance provocative for him, all because they... Because the king got drunk, he called for the queen to come and dance provocatively before him. The queen said, no, I refuse to come. Because she refused to come, the king got rid of her. Now, because the king got rid of her, the king didn't have a queen. The king didn't have a queen because... Where was I? Hold on. I wasn't on a roll. He didn't have a queen because he got rid of her. He got rid of her because she wouldn't listen to him. He wouldn't listen to her because he asked her to dance provocative before him. And he asked her to dance provocative, all because the king got drunk. He called the queen to come before him to dance provocative before him and the men. And the queen refused to come. Because she refused to come, he got rid of her. Because he got rid of her, he didn't have a queen. Because he didn't have a queen, he had to find a new queen. Why did he have to find a new queen? Because he got rid of her. Why did he get rid of her? Because she wouldn't obey him. Why wouldn't she obey him? Because he had to dance provocative. Why did she ask dance provocative? All because they... Because the king got drunk, he asked for the queen to come before him and dance provocatively. She refused to come and do that. Because she refused to come to do that, he got rid of her. Because he got rid of her, he didn't have a queen. Now that he didn't have a queen, he had to go find a new queen. And when he did that, he asked for all these beautiful women to come around him. He asked for all these beautiful women to come around him because he didn't have a queen. He didn't have a queen because he got rid of her. He got rid of her because she wouldn't obey him. She wouldn't obey him because he wanted her to dance provocatively before him and his friend. And he called her to do that all because they... Because the king got drunk. He called the queen before him to dance provocatively. Because he called the dance provocatively before him, she refused to come. Because she refused to come, he got rid of her. Because he got rid of her, he didn't have a queen. Because he didn't have a queen, he had to find a new one. Because he had to find a new one, they called all these beautiful women to come before him. And when they did, one of them, who was a Jew, came before him named Esther. Now, Esther became before him because the king asked for all these beautiful women. Asked for all the beautiful women because he had to find a new queen. Had to find a new queen because he got rid of his queen. Got rid of his queen because she wouldn't obey him. She wouldn't obey him because he asked her to dance provocatively. So he did all that all because they? Because the king got drunk. He asked the queen to come dance provocatively before him. And she wouldn't come. So she disobeyed him. Because she disobeyed him, he got rid of her. Because he got rid of her, he didn't have a queen. Because he didn't have a queen, he had to find a new one. Because all these beautiful women were coming before him. Because he did that, Queen Esther came before him. Because Queen Esther came, and he pointed her out, made her queen. Now, it happened among all there was a thing happened within the kingdom that all the Hebrew people were going to be slaughtered. And they needed help. Somebody had to go before the king to ask for help. And the one who could do that now was Queen Esther, because she was a queen. And she was a Hebrew, but now she was the queen. So she had a way to get before the king. And she had a way to get before the king because she was queen. And she was queen because the king sent all the beautiful women to come before him because he was without a queen. He was without a queen because he got rid of his queen. He got rid of her queen because she wouldn't obey him. She wouldn't obey him because he asked her to dance provocatively for him. And all this happened because the king got drunk. He asked the queen to come dance provocatively before him. She wouldn't come. She refused. Because he got rid of her. Because he got rid of her, he didn't have a queen. Because he didn't have a queen, and to find a new one. He asked all these beautiful women to come before him. Because of that, he saw Queen Esther, and Esther became queen. Now the Hebrew people were in trouble, and they were going to be slaughtered, and they needed someone to go before the kingdom to do something about this. And because Queen Esther was now the queen, she was able to go before him. Because she was able to go before him, all the Hebrew people were saved. And all the Hebrew people were saved because Esther went before him to ask him of that. And Esther was able to do that because she was the queen. She was the queen because the king asked for all the beautiful women to come before him, and he's found her. And he asked for all the beautiful women to come because he didn't have a queen. And he didn't have a queen because he got rid of his queen. He got rid of his queen because she wouldn't obey him. She wouldn't obey him because he asked her to dance provocatively before him. And he asked her to dance back. She was asked to dance provocatively before him because a king got drunk. Now, this is not saying go out and get drunk, but it is saying this, that God saved the Hebrew people from a tremendous slaughter, all because the king got drunk. A chain of events went into place that caused that to happen to save the Hebrew people. That God took this event, and God can take any event, good or bad, and use it in a phenomenal way for his purpose, and to change the lives of people. The king getting drunk became a tool in the hand of God that put a series of events into place that saved the Hebrew people. Now I want to tell you another story about a chain of events. When I was in junior high, end of elementary, junior high, beginning of freshman, I had a paper out. Remember those days when you actually had a paper delivered to your front door by a paper boy? Let me tell you about my paper out. I hated my paper out. You know, it meant every day after school, I had to go right home and do that paper out. And you hear about a mailman, what he goes through, a paper boy does that too. Rain, sunshine, sleet, hail, snow, it didn't matter. You do the paper out. And you had to collect. And people weren't always home. So it meant you had to do what? You had to go back again and back again. I hated my paper out. I wanted to get rid of my paper out. And my folks said no. In January, my first year of high school, my mom said this. You can quit your paper out if you go out for track. Okay, now, I have a phrase I want you to say when I point at you. You can quit your paper out if you go out for track. Try it. You can quit your paper out because if you go out for track. Like I said, I hated my paper out. I hate it. My mom said to me, if you quit your paper out, you can go out for, if you go out for track, you can quit your paper out. So I went out for track. Now, the reason I went out for track was because my mom said, you can quit your paper out if you go out for track. Let's try it again. You can quit your paper out if you go out for track. Because my mom said you can quit your paper out if you go out for track, I went out for track. Because I went out for track, I did well. And I started getting medals, and I liked them. And the reason I started to get medals is because I went out for track. And the reason I went out for track was because my mom said, well, again, the reason I went out for track, my mom said you can quit your paper out and go out for track. So I went out for track. I went out for track and did well. I got medals. I really began to like medals. I thought they were neat things. So that summer, I began to look around for other medals I could get. And among all the medals I could see, I really liked was a Boy Scout God and Country Award. And I decided to go after that medal. The reason I decided to go after that medal is because I began to get addicted to medals. I thought they were really great. And I got addicted to medals and thought they were great is because I went out for track and did really well. And the reason I went out for track was because my mom said, because my mom said, you can quit your paper if you go out for track. I went out for track. Went out for track and did well. And I got medals. I began to like medals, so I went out to get more medals, and I found I liked the God and Country Award because it was a pretty medal. And to go after my God and Country Award meant I had to start going to church. So I started going to church. I started going to church to get my God and Country Award, which I really liked because it was a pretty medal, and I really liked that medal because I went off a track and did really well, and I got addicted to medals and thought they were neat. And I went out to a track all because my mom said, let's try it again. Maybe I was off because you get off too. You can quit your paper out if you go out for track. Because my mom says you can quit your paper out if you go out for track, I went out for track. Because I went out for track, I got medals and really liked the medals. And because I really liked the medals, I tried to get more medals. I saw the God and Country Award, and that was a really neat medal, so I went after it. That required I started to go to church. And when I went to church, I came under the influence of some tremendous people within that church and another tremendous pastor in that church. Now, I came under their influence and their relationships because I went to church. I went to church because I wanted to get my God and Country Award, which I really liked that medal. And I really wanted another medal because I went out for track and got medals. I'm getting to like medals. And the reason why I went out for track is because my mom said, okay, let's try it in unison now. You can. Thank you. And because my mom said you can quit your paper out if you go out for track, I went out for track and got medals. I really liked the medals. I wanted to get more. Began to look around. So the God and Country Award was a great medal. So I decided to go after that. Going after God and Country Award required I had to go to church. When I went to church, I came under the influence of some tremendous people and a tremendous pastor. Because I came under their influence, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Jesus Christ because I came under the influence of these tremendous people within the church. And I came under their influence because I went to church. I went to church because I went after the God and Country Award medal, which I really thought was neat. And I liked medals because I went out for track and got medals and thought they were really great. And then I went out for track for only one reason, because my mom said, because my mom said, you can quit your paper out, you go out for track. I went out for track. I went out for track, got some medals, and really liked the medals. And I want to get more medals. I went after the God and Country Award because it's a really neat medal. And I went to go after the God and Country Award meant I had to go to church. Went to church, I became the influence of some tremendous people. Because of being under their influence, I committed my life to Christ. And after I committed my life to Christ, I felt a call into the ministry. Now I felt a call into the ministry because I committed my life to Christ. I committed my life to Christ because I came under the influence of tremendous people. I came under their influence because I started going to church. I started going to church because I wanted the God and Country Award, which I really like. I wanted that medal because I got other medals when I ran track. And I went out for track then because my mom said, and I quit my paper out because my mom said, you go out for track. You can quit it. So I went out for track. Quit it. I went out for track and I quit my paper out. Went out for track, did well, and got medals. And I like more medals, so I had to go after the God and Country Award. Went to the God and Country Award, meant I had to go to church. I mean, to go to church, meant I came under the influence of some tremendous people. Coming under their influence, I gave my life to Christ. I felt a call into the ministry. Now, because I felt a call into the ministry, my home church, when I went away to seminary, to Asbury Seminary College, my home church, because I was going that way, asked me to come back during the summer months and be the youth pastor. So I came back, was a youth pastor at my home church because I felt a call in the ministry and was pursuing that. And I was pursuing that because I gave my life to Christ. I was giving my life to Christ because I called from tremendous people. I came under their influence because I went to church. I went to church because I was trying to get my God and country award. I wanted to get my God and country award because I loved medals. And I began to love medals because I went off a track. And I went off for track all because my mom said, and because my mom said that, I went off for track. When I went off for track, I saw medals and liked them. I wanted to get more medals. I wanted to God and country award. To get the God and country award, I had to go to church. Going to church, I fell on the influence of some tremendous people. Falling on the influence of tremendous people like that, I gave my life to Christ. And in that relationship with Christ, I felt a call into the ministry. And went away to Asbury College and seminary. And because I was working, going into the ministry, my home church asked me to come home and to be a youth pastor during the summer months. Because I came home and was a youth pastor in my home church during the summer months, I came in contact with a young lady in the youth group at that time, and her name was Mickey Poorman. Now, Mickey Poorman eventually graduated from high school, and her first year of college, when I came home at Christmas and saw her, Mickey Poorman did not look the same. It's amazing when you go from high school to college, a drastic transformation happens. Years later, I married this young lady, and we've had tremendous kids. Why did that happen? All that happened because I was a youth pastor in my home church. And why was that? Because my home, I felt a call to the ministry. And going to the ministry, they asked me to come back and do that in the summer months. And I felt a call in the ministry because I gave my life to Christ. And I gave my life to Christ because I fell under the influence of some tremendous people. And why did I fall under their influence? Because I went to church. And why did I go to church? Because I wanted to get the God and Country Award. And why did I want to get the God and Country Award? Because I went out for track. And going out for track, I got medals. I liked medals and wanted more. And why did I get off a track? Well, I went out for track all because my mom said, my mom, at that moment, had no idea the chain of events she was putting in place. My walk with Christ, the young lady I married, phenomenal family that I have, the school and the seminary I went to, all the people I came into contact with, it really developed my life, my best friends. All of that can go back to one phrase, which started it all. You can quit your paper out if you go off for track. None of us here have any idea of the influence we have upon other people. We have no idea of the little things we do that may cause a major change. And often, our influence upon the lives of other people are not the big things we do, but it's the little things we do in just walking with Christ and allowing Him to shine through us. You have the ability to be used by God to change lives drastically. You may never, ever see it because you may be gone by then. Or that influence you have upon somebody, maybe somebody you don't even know, and you put a chain of event into place. God wants to use each of us in that phenomenal way. And it's not the big things, folks. It's the little things. You being you as you walk with Christ. Again, my mom would never, ever guess the change in my life that would happen because of that one phrase. You can quit your paper out if you go out for track. And God used that in a phenomenal way. Some of you work in the school system. Some of you run into people all over with a place of employment, just friends. It's the little things that you say that can change lives. Our closing song is an old chorus. At one time it was contemporary. When I knew it was contemporary. But now, things that I knew were contemporary no longer contemporary. And we sing it in high school. It's called Pass It On. And it starts out, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's how it is with God love, once you experience it. And the emphasis there is, it only takes a spark from you that can change a life. The key is to walk with him, and in walking with him then, as he changes your life, to just be yourself, to love people, to care. Forget about the major things. You know, we need to do those things. But allow him to use you in a day-by-day basis. And it's the little things. It's a spark that gets us all going. Father, we pray that you use the sparks from us. We can get so lost into the big events that we forget that it's the big events only mean anything because of the day-by-day, moment-by-moment events. And sometimes, Father, we see these great people. We know we don't match up to them. And we begin to see how can we make a difference. But it's, when we surrender our lives to you, you make a difference through us, don't you? It may be little things, but you use those in a mighty and powerful way. Your grace and strength is so awesome. First, help each one of us here just to walk with you. In our own humble, weak way, to walk with you. And then just allow you to shine through our imperfections as you are perfecting us. And we pray that then you would use us to change the lives of people around us. And even if we never ever see the results of it in our lifetime, that's okay. Just use us to change the lives of people. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's stand together as we sing.
Closest friend was Larry. And because my life was drastically changed, I could no longer run around with Larry. I couldn't do the things we used to do together. And then I went away to college, and Larry went away to the military. But from that moment when I became a Christian on through college at the beginning, every time I sang this song and came to that last verse, I wish for you, my friend, I would change it in my mind. I wish for you, Larry, this happiness I found. At Christmas break one year from college, Larry and I were both home at the same time, and so we got together. We went out to wash his car. Two young men in the car together, we began to talk about the subject that most young men talk about right away, and that was girls. And as we began to talk about girls, I heard something different from Larry. I'd never heard him the way he talked about him. It was totally different. And I looked at Larry. I said, Larry. And he goes, Chuck, I have. I've given my life to Christ. I like to think that part of the reason that transformation happened in Larry's life is because for years, every time I sang this song, I prayed for Larry. I'd like for you to think of somebody in your life who you know needs Christ in a special way. And as we sing this last verse again, I'd like for you, at least in your mind, that the word friend becomes their name. And that this verse, as we sing it, becomes your prayer for that person.
I wish for you, my friends, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to grow. The Lord of love has come to me.
Go forth from this place and allow him to use you. Go forth with the power, the presence, and the strength of God Almighty, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.